pressure into power. And I suppose if you were going through this disaster zone, I guess you couldn't ordain any more pressure than losing all of your property and all of and then having to rebuild. And you sort of, some of these people come out and they say on television, "We're going to rebuild." Oh, Lord, give them a strength, you know. And that Mallacoota was a holiday town. I looked up the population, 1,000 people. But come this time of the year, it swells to about 8,000. And that's a real issue. Where we lived was 1,300 people, but come Christmas time and along the riverbanks, it used to swell to about 4,000. And so those things have got to be addressed. And I don't have the answer, but it's a long way to go yet. And I think the first thing, let's get these jolly fires under control, then take a deep breath and see what we can do and begin to plan. Okay, we had a look last week at this crushing and turning crushing into power, and we even looked at, for a few moments, obscurity, how the Lord will push you aside and put you into obscurity for a season. And then he, the Lord, will draw you out. It's interesting in a church and in a church life. The moment you categorise something as common, you've got to be careful, because that thing you say, "Oh yeah, that's all right. Oh yeah, she'll be right, mate," might have been something that the Lord actually sent specifically to you that's really special. But we sort of put it in the inbox. "Oh, I'll come back to that later." And we miss the actual fact that it was really special. And you can trip over the miracle that was meant for your life. You can miss it because you consider that unique miracle as just simply mundane. So what I'm really saying is, don't sort of say, "Oh, it's common. Oh, just another day in church. Just another day I've got to pick the sleep out of my eyes and get into the place." There's days like that, and it's usually days like that where you have to force yourself to get up and go and do something, that God brings something, brings a word, brings one word that can change your life. It's quite interesting. So, what am I really saying? Don't overlook the common. And that can be a problem in church life. That can even be a problem in your personal life and in your family life. Trav, can I have those first set of scriptures? In fact, we'll have the first three scriptures, please. And I'll go through them with you. And I think these are out of the New King James Version of the Bible. One from Matthew, one from Mark, and one from Luke. And I do lean towards Luke's wordiology. Matthew 13:57, "So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honour except in his own country and in his own house.'" Pretty much the same in Mark 6, verse 4. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honour except in his own country, among his own relatives and his own house. There's a lot of stuff been preached on that over the years. The version I'm sort of leaning to is probably the simple one. And then he said, well, the he being Jesus, assuredly I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Quite interesting, isn't it? No prophet is accepted in his own country. And I don't know, I was thinking about this and pondering about this. And I suppose when you think of it, it can sort of go off in a number of directions. And some of those directions you take Pastor Jim McLaughlin. Jim has had really a battle to become recognised in his own country. But let's go another way. Have you had a battle to be recognised in amongst your own family? Yeah! It's really an issue, isn't it? It's really an issue to tick the box. Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his or her own country. And I suppose the most interesting thing that you could say to sum that up is familiarity breeds contempt. That's just air. It does. And when you've been around something for so long, you take them for granted. When they ring up Greg and they ring up from Sydney, you can give them all the advice that you want. But sometimes it gets down to, well, you told me that 3 months ago, nothing's changed. And away you go, and it's your family. Oh yeah, I've heard that all before. And you go through your own family, and I'll tell you more about Jesus, what he was up to, and how those passages came to pass. And that's really the topic for the day, to encourage you, no matter what the circumstances, and no matter how you're treated, keep on keeping on. Keep pressing on. If people take you for granted, then it's a compliment. It's a compliment to your consistency. I'll say that again. If people take you for granted, it's a compliment. Yeah, it's a compliment to your consistency. Sometimes it's hard to get a thank you out of people when you serve them a meal. Don't worry, I watch. And they're quick to grab a bacon and egg roll. But I said something along the lines as, well, we'll starve them for 3 months. We'll see if we can get a thank you out of them. For that, it's interesting, isn't it? And even your own kids. If you said, all right, we're going off dessert for a week, let's see what you get out of them then. Compliments. Consistency. When the compliments stop, you know you're doing okay. And you've probably never heard that. When the compliments stop, you know you're doing okay. And those scriptures that I just read, we've based this message on today. Jesus was saying the miracles at that time, when that was recorded, were limited. He was taken a little bit for granted. And what becomes consistent and taken for granted is eventually taken away. You ever heard of a move of God or a revival? How interesting, how it fizzles out. And when people start to take it for granted, God ultimately takes it away. Not because he's snotty or snappy, he just lifts that anointing. Here comes Jesus into his hometown. Think on this. He's coming with exactly the same healing power that we'll talk about this in a minute. The same healing power that healed that 12-year-old girl. And I'm going to come back to that and talk about that in a few moments. But he came into that town. He was there. He was readily available. But they were taking him a little bit for granted. Quite interesting. And we'll come back to Mark chapter 5 in just a few moments. In fact, I'll get Mark. I won't get Mark to put it up. I'll get Trav to put it up. And you can have a look at it for yourself. You can read it for yourself. Ooh, that's fast. He got it up there really quick. Now, this is out of the Amplified version of the Bible. Some of you wouldn't have that. It's no different. Taking the child's hand, he said tenderly to her, "Talitha, come." Is that how you would pronounce that, sir? Cum. You'd get the cum, would you? Yeah. So, "Talitha, cum," which translated from Aramaic means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." The little girl immediately got up and began to walk. For she was 12 years old, and immediately they who witnessed the child's resurrection were overcome with great wonder and amazement. Say wonder. Say amazement. And I guess there's not a person in this room, if you saw that and witnessed that, you would be overcome with wonder and amazement. And I guess what we're talking about in this session here today is that people can easily lose the wonder and lose the amazement of being in the presence of God. Jesus gave strict orders to them that no one should know about this, and he told them to give it something to eat because it was coming to the end of his ministry and he didn't want that broadcast, so to speak. In that same passage of Scripture, it's a lovely, lovely, lovely passage of Scripture, chapter 5, the woman with the issue of blood. She didn't take Jesus for granted at all. She knew she only had one shot to get to Jesus, and she took it. It's quite an interesting thing. She took it, she grabbed it, and she was healed. I can remember the story when Angel was in Uganda, and Eddie Wright, he was there seeing a pastor, and they, on the Sunday night, I think, travelled to another church, another pastor. And at any rate, they got Angel to preach. And as it was, he preached, and there was, an altar call at the end of it. The lady came forward, and she said basically the same thing, that she'd had a long, long history and an issue of blood. An angel prayed for her, and in an instant she was healed. In an instant she was healed. I think I saw Greg say, amazing. We must not lose the amazing thing. That woman, in her amazement, went home and told her husband, who was a non-believer, what had happened. And you can imagine how that whole thing would have affected their marriage. At any rate, the next day or session or whatever, the pair of them came back. And he gave his life to the Lord, which was wonderful. And then he wrote out a check for the church to buy their own plot of ground and build their own building. That's amazing, isn't it? Give Jesus a clap offering. Yeah. So we can take it all for granted. That's what I'm saying today. I guess you could say, I will not allow my miracle to be overlooked through letting it become common, sent to you through the door by the Holy Spirit to rest upon you. Jesus turned up into that town, didn't he? And if you read all of chapter 5 of Mark, you will find in that chapter it was literally miracle after miracle. He walked up the road. He didn't lose anything. He didn't lose the power. I guess, you know, people were saying, oh, that's that Jesus again. Maybe, maybe not. I'm kind of encouraging you and say, are you tripping over your miracle? Are you tripping over your miracle because you've stopped being amazed? Say amazed. You could be tripping over that miracle that you so need in your life. And how I'd finish today, two words, stay amazed. Say stay amazed. Say it again, stay amazed. Trav, I might get you to give us some music to encourage us and to stay amazed. You're going to stay amazed. We need to stay amazed. Easy to say. But it's the little things that will help you stay amazed. In here, but you poke your head out the door and say, stay amazed.